is celebrated really, really late in the year. It's April 21st. I even know the date. I want you to look for a minute. I just want to talk to you for just a few seconds. I'm not going to speak long. And that's a promise today. You know, it's not like a pastoral promise, but a real one. John 8:57-59 says this. And this is an earlier time. This is not directly related to the celebration of the resurrection day. It's not directly related with any of the events, but it's integrally related with all the events, really. Then the Jews said to him, "You're not 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?" Because Jesus had made a statement, Abraham delighted to see his day. They're going, "You're not even 50 years old yet." And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And so when we saw in the video that they came with clubs and with torches and they're going to arrest him, wasn't I in the temple with you every day? He was with them, but this is one of those times when he was talking with them, they're picking up stones, he just kind of walked out. I think maybe we would learn a good technique sometimes because we want to take people on, we want to make a big deal. But this is more about Jesus. This is his day. And it's the most important day that we could ever have. This particular event was the high watermark of Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees. Pharisees, very religious group. They were very, very, very practiced in the things of the Bible, the Word of God. But the trouble was they turned it into legalism. So these guys even refused to consider that Jesus meets all the requirements of prophetic scripture. They never asked him to justify his claims. They never went that far. They assumed him to be a fraud. And sometimes in our lives, that's exactly what we do too. We look at Jesus and we kind of act as if we assume he's a fraud. And even if we have called ourselves Christians and we've walked with him a long time, sometimes we have this thing of, well, it's not really like that. But really, it is. See, Jesus gave what I like to call it the thermonuclear bomb answer. Because everything blows up when he says this. And it went off in the ears of the Pharisees. He said, "I am. Before Abraham was, I am." And that was the name of the Lord that was given to Moses. Every Jewish school kid knew that much. They knew more than the Pharisees did. But to use that name as the password in this dialogue would be a lot like going, you or me, going into a restaurant and we order the most expensive thing on the menu and then we walk out for the server to pay, but you have to see the picture. We're Bill Gates, richest man in the world. I'm going to walk out, let the server pay for it. When they see Jesus before them and they hear him say, "I am," they don't know what to do with that. Because by doing that, he is saying that he is God. That is what he's saying. If you remember, if you're familiar at all with that experience with Moses, Moses asked a question. He said, "Who shall I say is sending me?" And the answer, from a bush that burned and didn't consume itself in the burning, the answer in a voice that came out was, "Tell them I am sent you." Now, it's pretty obvious that God is the one who's in the bush. Because, for one thing, he starts off with Moses saying, "Hey, take off your shoes. This is holy ground." Uh-oh. This is a big deal. So Jesus has named himself as the great I am. Jesus was and is who he said he was. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In him are all the riches of the Godhead bodily. He is the one. However, the Pharisees didn't want him at any cost in any way. We know people like that today. In fact, might be some here. You might be one. So these Pharisees, they turned on him and they killed him. And it didn't turn out like they thought either. This is what happened. No, it's not me. Jesus rose from the dead. That picture, because we're not used to that picture, that's a stone being rolled away from the tomb's mouth. And a lot of times these tombs were made with a track where there would be a big, big, big giant stone in a circle. It weighed a lot. And it rolled back. He rose from the dead. Now, the Pharisees are gone. Have you noticed that? You try to find them. Now, we can find people that act like them, but the Pharisees are gone. But Jesus rose from the dead. The nation of Israel is yet to have a day when they call upon him whom they have pierced. That's still coming. So our lesson in all of this, besides the awe of seeing the hand of God at work, is to keep our minds and our hands and our hearts open to him in all of his ways. It doesn't always look like we think it'll look. You know, I could ask for a show of hands. Say, have you ever thought that God doing something would look this way, but it turned out another way? And every hand in this place would go up because we've all experienced that. We've all experienced the thing of expecting God to work a certain way, and he just flat didn't do it. But it doesn't make him any less alive. That's the amazing thing. Who's got the problem? Well, we don't like to admit that we have a problem. I saw a book. It was really kind of a cute title. I'm Okay, You Have a Problem. It doesn't always look like we think it'll look, but I will tell you this, it always turns out better. When God is involved, it always turns out better. Now, sometimes you have to wait a little while to see that. Because, see, it didn't look like Jesus won. One of the things I really like, and it's a hard thing. I don't enjoy it, but I really like it. And that's going through a Good Friday observance of some sort. Because you come to this place of realizing that Jesus suffered a whole lot. It's like you just identify with what he's gone through in a different way than simply coming to an Easter Sunday morning service and, hey, he's risen from the dead. He is risen. He's risen indeed. We love all those things. It's all good. And it's all true. But if we don't know where we came from in the thing, if we don't observe what he went through, sometimes it gets a little bit easy for us to just kind of roll it off and go, well, you know. But it didn't look like Jesus won. We saw in the video that Pilate says, scourge him. And we go, yeah, you know, they whipped on him a little bit. No, they whipped on him a lot. I won't go into the whole thing. Some of you have very delicate stomachs. But suffice it to say that this was just shy of a way to kill somebody. It was just shy of an execution. And a lot of times people were put to this scourging and they called it being examined. And what it meant was you'd whip them until they confessed to whatever it was. Some people would confess to stuff they didn't even do just to make it stop. And a lot of times it was too late. But it didn't look like Jesus won. I don't know that anybody thought that Jesus won as he was walking to Golgotha, to the place of the skull. I was really intrigued by the picture on the screen of this rock that kind of sits up there. And you know, if you go to Israel today, that place is gone. It's gone. Now, not the hill. The hill's still there. But the face is gone. The face went away during a big rainstorm. I've got pictures of it. In 2007, it was still there. That's not that long ago. I know for some of you, that's a long time. And there was it looked like a face of a skull on the side of the hill. It was the most remarkable thing. And he goes up there with this cross, and then they nail him onto the cross. And then they raise the cross, and it falls in the hole, and there he is. And everybody's making fun of him. It didn't look like he won, but he did. When he said, "It is finished," he wasn't talking about my suffering is finished, although it was. The sacrifice was finished. See, death couldn't hold him, and the grave couldn't contain him. And he's alive. He's alive for you and me. That's the great good news. When we talk about the gospel, and some of you think gospel's a good word, and some of you think it's kind of a bad word or something. Gospel, all it means is good news. Good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead. He is risen. Okay, just making sure you guys are with me. That's the last thing I wrote on my page. It's all done. I'm done talking to you. But I'm not done imparting to you something that I think you need to do. And that is, there's someone who loved you so much that he went to a cross and he endured the scourging, he endured the shame, and he came that you might have life and that much more abundantly. No matter who you are and no matter what kind of life you're having right now. The most amazing thing is, with all of this talk of Jesus Christ coming and he's alive and he wants us to have abundant life, we oftentimes don't even think about what kind of life that might be. And so this morning, as we close, I want you to think about what kind of life that would be to have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. There is no more important question for you. Because if you're like that old TV commercial, you only go around once in life, so you want to grab for all the gusto you can. Remember that one? You might not remember that one. That was kind of old. But the fact of it, the thing that people say is, hey, you know, you only live once. Get everything you can. I got news for you. When you die, it's not over. And that's true for everybody. That is true for everybody. So it's very important to realize that you want to come into abundant life now. Don't wait. You probably know people. Hey, you know, when I get older, I want to give my life to God. Really? You may not live long enough to do it. You may not know. You might not be able to do what you think you can do. That's a terrible place to be. But it's not where God wants you to be. He sent Jesus, and the Bible uses a really interesting turn of phrase, in the fullness of time. And can I just propose to you that for each one of us here, it's the fullness of time for us too, even today, even right now, to come to this place where, you know what? It's more than just a religious thing. In fact, one of the things about Jesus, he wasn't religious at all. You say, prove it. Okay, easy. Every time you see someone mad at Jesus, it's a religious person. Every time. Don't think he got along with them real well. So the answer is not being more religious. The answer is actually to have him as your great friend and to have him as your great brother, to have him as your Savior and your Lord. That's who it is. So just pray with me. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word, for the fact that you gave us your Son. You so loved everybody that you sent your Son to die. And what we do with that is the most crucial thing in all of life. Lord, we want to have abundant life. I've never talked to anybody who wanted a little bit of life. They wanted an abundant life. And yet, Lord, sometimes we deliberately choose, as the Pharisees did, to turn away from you and your Son and your ways. We'll take anything else. Help us not to turn away. Help us to engage in exactly all that you gave us in Jesus Christ. King of kings, Lord of lords, the one who conquered death, and the one to whom we can bow our knee, that we receive salvation from. And we're so thankful, Lord, it doesn't involve eating fish. Thank you that it is a matter of being set free. and that's what you want for us. If you're here today, and this is the very first time that you've ever considered that, and you really want to do that, this is your time. This is in the fullness of time for you. If you have been close with the Lord, you've kind of walked away, and it's one of those things where you've just been offended or something's happened, would you allow God to supersede all of that in your life? And would you be the person that God has made you to be? Would you receive that great gift? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving and allowing us to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. He is risen. And we're so glad. I want to dismiss you. It's a great day. Many of you are going to be able to be with your families. That's such a super thing. This is one of the first times in my life I won't be able to, although I will be with Cliff, and that's almost as good. It's like my brother. But we have a long drive ahead of us down into southern Nevada, and many of you get to have dinner. I hope that there are those of you who are going to have ham and scalloped potatoes. If you do, think of me, because that's one of the things I really, really, really am going to miss. But one of the greatest things I would tell you is don't miss the greatest thing. It's not about ham and scalloped potatoes. It's about a God who really, really, really loves you. The only true God, the only one. It's an amazing thing. Would you stand? I'm going to dismiss you, and you're free to go after that. Worship or prayer teams, if you'd come. If you need prayer, please come on up, and there'll be people here to pray for you, and that's always a good thing. And one of the good things about that is you won't be left here if your ride's not going to leave without you, so you'll be okay. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and may you know the truth of the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.